We can't know with certainty what's going to happen tomorrow. And really, when you think about it, it's good not to know. There would be no possibilities.
Go deeper. Find your center. Live life to the fullest. This is the Deeper Connections podcast from The Daily Motivator. Welcome to the Deeper Connections podcast from The Daily Motivator, sponsored by Connections University, where you'll find the Experience Excellence audio program, a resource for encouragement, inspiration, and mastery of life's everyday challenges. Visit deeperconnectionspodcast.com and download Experience Excellence today.
Hey, this is Ralph Marston. I'm the founder of the Daily Motivator website. And through that website for about 24 years, I've provided encouragement and positive thoughts to people all over the world. I carefully design every Daily Motivator message to get you thinking about and acting on your best possibilities. And now I'm excited to be expanding on all those positive values I write about in this new Deeper Connections podcast, along with my co-host, Kimberly Kane. Kimberly is a certified high-performance coach. She's an award-winning songwriter and performing musician, and she is deeply passionate about life's creative possibilities. So, Kim, with all the fear and uncertainty that's swirling around the world right now, how are you holding up?
I think I'm doing pretty well.
Well, good.
There is so much fear and uncertainty right now. We are in the middle of a shutdown due to this coronavirus pandemic. And it's pretty much all we're hearing about right now. And so I want to say from the get-go, we've got to say, hey, that's what's going on. But this podcast episode is not going to be about the coronavirus, just so you know, yeah. Straight out of the chute.
Yeah, I think we can find that wherever we want it, right?
Exactly. We want to acknowledge it because you, as a listener, being here with us in this moment, may be deeply fearful of what's going on. And so we certainly do not want to brush over that. We want to acknowledge it, but we also want to spend our time here talking about how we get through uncertain times like this. So I think I'm doing pretty well in the midst of it. How about you?
Yeah, good. I mean, as good as can be expected. I mean, mm-hmm. We're kind of in uncharted territory here, mm-hmm. and everybody's feeling their way along. But I think for the most part, people are doing pretty well.
Yeah.
I really do.
I think so. I mean, there's always going to be chaos surrounding new situations, things that are unprecedented. We've never been here before in this time. Certainly, there are some people alive right now who've been through other crises that were unprecedented. But for most of us right now, we haven't seen anything like this. We haven't experienced anything like this. And so, yes, there's always going to be chaos involved in that. Chaos is always looking for a place to rear its head, if you will. And so it's not about whether it's going to appear. It is going to appear. It's really about how do we respond to it. And here in the United States, we've certainly had with 9/11, that was unprecedented. And we rose to the occasion after the initial shock, and we made some changes. And in other parts of the world, there are people dealing with war that they live in the midst of daily, and they deal with that situation based on where they are. So I think people are pretty resilient for the most part, and resourceful and innovative. And these kinds of times present opportunities for all of that energy to come forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, fear is it's a very powerful emotion.
Oh, yes.
And, when you're feeling fear, just like anything that's very powerful, like explosives, dynamite or nuclear energy or gasoline or or powerful tool such as the internet, just like anything else that's very powerful, it can be extremely useful, but it can also be very destructive.
Yes.
And the usefulness in fear is it can keep you alive, literally.
Literally.
It can get you quickly away from any kind of danger that suddenly pops up.
Mm-hmm.
But on the bad side, fear can actually push you into creating the very things that you fear. And it can paralyze you. It can keep you from taking action. Or it can, what may be even worse, it can lead you into taking actions that are completely inappropriate and harmful.
Mm-hmm.
And then along with the fear, there's a lot of uncertainty. And, you know, we've certainly been seeing a lot of that in the current situation. You know, a lot of the problem is we don't know what's going on exactly.
Right, right.
And so, you know, it's already fearful. I mean, it's already a scary thing. And then you add uncertainty on top of that, and that amplifies all those fears.
Mm-hmm. I think you make a good point that those are really two separate issues to deal with. When they go together, it becomes more explosive. But
right.
I like how you're taking those two things as separate issues that we can kind of pull apart here and look at.
Well, yeah, they're separate issues, but they can combine to really, really be bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even like fear, uncertainty has usefulness as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's always going to be with us. And I know that you personally have been through a long period of uncertainty in your life.
I have. I really have. I, for the last 5 years, I have been through the loss of a child, my daughter, and then becoming the caretaker for my father, my champion, who then passed from cancer recently. And so that caretaking experience had me put my career aside in order to be with him and take care of him, which was an honor. It also, though, pulled the rug out from under me professionally for a while. And so I am restarting my life. And through these experiences, there has been a great deal of uncertainty and fear. And that is still there. And all that prior to adding the coronavirus situation to it. But when you're in multiple trauma times, let's call it, you have to learn a lot of adaptive measures. I say you have to. You don't have to. It's a choice.
Right.
And if you want to survive it, and more, if you want to come out the other side thriving, you have to make some choices to rise above those circumstances. And I know we want to talk some here about faith, and there are a lot of tools that come into play, psychological tools, emotional, spiritual tools that come into play when you're in uncertain times. So,
yeah.
I've certainly had a lot of opportunity to practice over the last few years.
Right. Well, I think, you know, it's useful to take a step back from the fear when you're able to, you know, get a little bit removed from that fear and uncertainty so you can kind of get a good look at them objectively from a distance. You know, look at what they are and consider the best strategies for dealing with them. Because fear, you know, you have to remember, fear is not who you are. You are not the fear.
Exactly.
It's not your identity. But it is such a powerful emotion. You know, it's all encompassing sometimes. And when you have fear, you can feel like that fear is the only thing there is. You can feel like that it defines you and it is all you are. And
it can
dominate
take over.
Your awareness. Yeah, it takes over. So like I said, when it's safe for you to do, I mean, sometimes that's good because, I mean, it just gets you out of a dangerous situation very quickly. But when it's safe for you to do so, I think it's a very good idea. And that's kind of what we're doing today, is to intentionally step back from the fear and look at it a little bit dispassionately and objectively And yes. That's not easy all the time because, like you say, it completely overwhelms you sometimes. But with the intention to do it, once you develop that intention, you can look at it more dispassionately. And what you have to remember is when you're feeling fear, you're also feeling your potential for courage.
Mm-hmm.
And you can think of it this way. The fact that you feel fear means you also have the courage to get beyond it. And the amazing thing is when you actually go ahead and authentically let yourself feel that fear, that in itself, that is an act of courage.
Yes.
And that's your starting point. You know, all of a sudden you're going from fearful to courageous. You know, you make the decision to stop running and hiding from your fear, and you make the decision to turn around and be willing to confront it. And that is when the feeling of fear suddenly transforms into the initial feeling of courage.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as the saying goes, courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the ability to act in spite of that fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very true. You know, if there's no fear, well, there's no courage. You know, fear is a precursor, you know, a necessary and useful precursor to courage.
You know, there's so many interesting things that you said in there, so many nuggets that people can latch onto and use as tools, because I'm always looking at what can we take from situations, what can we take from educational experiences like this, hopefully will be for somebody, hopefully for many people, and that you can take that and use it as a practical tool, something that you can do what I call strapping on my tool belt. And when I'm in a situation, go, you know what? I have got a tool for this. And that's what practices are all about, putting things into motion that you can use during difficult times instead of waiting until you're in the difficult time. That's the beauty of personal development. One of the things that you touched on about fear, then being able to carry enough energy to move you into a level of courage. Have you read David Hawkins' book, Power Versus Force?
No, I haven't. Not familiar with that.
It is just amazing. And here's one thing that I love about it. He says in the book, if you don't do anything except look at this chart that he has in the book. And I've looked it up online. You can actually look up the power versus force chart so that you can easily see levels of energy. And he's saying, if you don't do anything with this book except look at the chart, you will have already changed your level of awareness. And I completely agree with that because that chart has stuck in my mind for many, many years since the first time I saw it. And what it is a, you know, it's always hard to describe something like this without the visual. And so I hope that you will go on and look at this chart and it will make more sense to you. But the emotional levels of fear and courage, they carry a certain amount of energy. And what he's showing is that most people actually do live at a level of courage. Below the level of courage, it goes down the chart to show you that when you get to a level, let's say, of apathy, where you're not feeling anything, you don't have the energy to catapult yourself up into the level of courage, and that's where suicides occur. But if you're at a level of fear, there is enough energy in the level of fear to catapult you up into a level of courage. And then that chart goes on up into levels of compassion where spiritual masters such as Buddha and Jesus and others that we see throughout history have lived. And at that level of compassion, he's saying there is actually enough energy there to carry the weight of millions of other people. And so it shows how our energy levels are capable of holding others up during difficult times. And so I loved what you were talking about when you said that you can move from one level to the other. So that's a really good resource to look at.
Yeah. Well, you know, that sounds a lot like this course called the Sedona Method.
Is that him? Is that also David Hawkins?
Maybe. He may be associated with that, yes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I know what you're talking about exactly. And it is a very interesting concept of the different levels of energy. And fear, like you say, does have more energy. Yeah, it's better than not caring at all.
Right.
And that's apathy. So yeah, fear is, it does have its positive aspects. But, you know, some fears are completely irrational and, you know, they're totally blown out of proportion. And I think we see a lot of that these days.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the strategy for dealing with those fears is pretty much the same. You know, you got to turn and look at them. You got to face them. You got to be honest about them. Mm-hmm. And you have to, you know, shine the bright light of your awareness and your intelligence and your life experience on those fears.
Yes.
And look at them from that perspective. And if they are highly exaggerated, you're going to quickly see that. You're going to realize, you know, when you look at them from the perspective of all you know, all you've been through, you can see that they are highly exaggerated.
There's another great book that I've recommended to so many people. I read this many years ago. It's called The Gift of Fear by Gavin DeBecker. And Gavin DeBecker runs a security company that provides security for heads of state, celebrities, so high-level security. One of the things that he does is he identifies whether threats are real, whether they are of low import, if you will. So let's say a celebrity or a head of a state who gets a threat letter, looking at that and seeing, is this something that we actually need to act on, or is this someone who is venting? And what is amazing about this book is he's also counseled with many people who have been victims of violent crimes. And he said, there is never a time, though the victim will say, I don't know where this person came from. They just came out of the blue. Once he talks with them for a while and walks them through the situation, they always find that nothing just comes out of the blue. There are always markers and there are telltale signs. And this is the reason for building your knowledge of your intuition and how to use it on a practical level. So, for instance, there's a story that I won't go into the whole thing, but a woman who's raped, and when she's telling her story, she says, you know, this guy helped me carry my groceries, and I thought there was just something weird about his voice when he said he could help me carry them. That was the first clue, but she ignored it, as so many people do. They think, oh, that's just me. I need to be kind. That would be rude if I just said, no thanks. But those were the first clues along the way. And it is a really fascinating book. And the way that he puts that, fear is a gift, and this is in your reptilian brain. It's mm-hmm. there. As you mentioned before, this is about survival. But if you stay in an attitude of fear all the time, it actually disables your fear instinct, so you can't use it the way that it was intended to be used.
Wow. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Well, that's true. And we have to realize that the purpose for fear is to get us to respond in some way. Mm-hmm. To get us to take action, because fear mm-hmm. is an extremely powerful motivator. So when you're feeling fear, you're very likely to feel a strong desire to do something about it, to take action. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. You know, it's not always the case. Sometimes you're in that apathy level and, you know, the fear can disable you, paralyze you, and, you know, put you into a state of complete inaction. But a lot of times you want to do something. You very badly want to do something about it. But the problem is, if you just act purely out of fear, well, you know, you may not be taking the right actions. I mean, if you're acting just out of your fear, and that's why I'm saying, you know, it's helpful to step back from it and look at it a little more dispassionately. And, you know, a classic example and something a lot of people are going through right now is investing in the stock market. You know, if you make your investment decisions based solely on fear, what you're going to end up doing is you're going to be selling your stocks when the prices are plummeting.
Right.
And you're going to be buying them back when the prices are at their peak. So, you know, buying mm-hmm. high and selling low is absolutely not a good investment strategy. You know, you've got the fear of losing money, and that fear is actually causing you to lose money.
Right. Whatever you're looking at is the direction that you're going to drive in. So if you're driving down the highway, but you're focused on some trees that are off the side of the road and you're staring at that instead of the highway, you're going to drive into a tree.
Right. Yeah.
So it's the same thing with panic and fear. If you stay focused on the fear, you're going to create exactly what you fear and drive straight into it. And that's across the board. That's for relationships, for investing money, your health, everything. You paralyze yourself or you create the wrong action, as you're saying.
Yeah. Well, you can take the energy. I mean, there's a lot of energy in fear, and you just have to make the choice to transform it not into fearful action, but into confident and positive action.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can take a look at what the fear is telling you to do and ask yourself, challenge it, you know, say, is that really the best course of action? And if the fear is legitimate, well, yes, it is. But it would be good to take action, but what action? You know, some actions just get rid of the fear and uncertainty. And in other words, like selling stock, I mean, if you sell your stocks, yeah, you're rid of the fear. You don't have the fear of them going down anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But you've eased that fear of loss, but now you've set yourself up for another fear, and that's the fear of missing out when the market starts going back up again.
Well, I think sometimes people don't realize this is one of the lessons I've really had to learn over the last few years. Sometimes the best action is to wait patiently and calmly.
Right.
And that is, especially in our culture here in the United States, we don't do very well with waiting patiently. And so that can be seen as a weakness. That can be seen as being indecisive.
Right,
but
or
you
that
can
you don't
be,
care.
Exactly. You can be very decisive about the choice to wait. And that's not the same thing as waiting in a state of, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to wait and be informed by what everybody else does. It is more of a powerful place of waiting to be informed with knowledge that you don't yet have. And when I say knowledge, that may not be knowledge that's coming from the outside, from the news or anything like that. That can be knowledge that's coming to you intuitively, that's coming to you from a higher source. For me, that comes through prayer and meditation. And then sometimes it doesn't come at the time of prayer and meditation when I want it to, but that prayer and meditation sets me up for the awareness that when those answers do come, I'm able to pick up on them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that kind of leads us into the big scary subject of uncertainty.
Yeah.
You know, which we've already talked about is closely related to fear, but it is a separate thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, you wait. If you don't know, you can wait and know that the answer will come or the action will be appropriate at a later time when the
right.
conditions are different. And we can't know what the future is going to bring. You know, we can't know with certainty what's going to happen tomorrow. And really, when you think about it, in a lot of ways, it's good not to know, because that uncertainty, it it compels you to develop more courage, to be more creative, to be more flexible, because, mm-hmm. you know, you want to be able to adapt to whatever situation comes along. It encourages you to commit, you know, develop stronger relationships and commitments and take initiative. And if we knew exactly in advance, you know, exactly how our lives are going to unfold, what joy would there be, you know,
right.
in living?
Absolutely. It'd be like puppets.
Yeah. I mean, the strengths that we develop are in response to challenge. The qualities and skills that we develop and the experiences that we gain as a result precisely of uncertainty, those things make our lives very rich. And I don't think there would be any way to equal that richness if we knew exactly what was going to happen, you know, for the next 100 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you can't get rid of all that uncertainty. Everything would be preordained, mm-hmm. and there would be no possibilities. And we like having possibilities, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And a lot of people do believe in that idea of preordination, and I don't subscribe to that. I think that we are more creative than that, that we have the ability to create, and that gives us... I like the word you used earlier. You talked about flexibility, and it reminded me of... a conversation that I had with an Aikido black belt named Lynn Fabia, and that's on my Naked Vibes show podcast. And she was talking about what she calls soft gaze. And soft gaze is what she teaches her students to see what's in front of you, but to also be lightly noticing everything else that's around you. So there are all these possibilities all around us, but we can't focus on all of them. But we can be aware that they're there in our peripheral vision, if you will. And so that expands the possibilities and it increases our flexibility to respond to situations. This goes back to not focusing on the fear, but if you're focused on the task at hand, what you need to do today, so it takes you out of a fearful situation if you focus on, well, today I still have to do the laundry. I still have to get some other work done. And maybe I want to go out and do some gardening today to relieve some of the stress and anxiety of the current situation. So the things that you're focused on, but it doesn't mean you're not aware of everything else that's going on. It's just in your peripheral vision. And so it's kind of like dialing down the fear quotient, if you will. You see it over there. It's there, but dial it down.
Well, and another thing you can do with uncertainty, you can't get rid of it, but you can counterbalance it. You can increase your awareness and your commitment to things in your life, like your family and your faith, your good friends, your skills and competencies, your resourcefulness. Those are things that you're pretty certain of.
Yes.
And they can serve to counterbalance all the uncertainties that are, you know, in the world beyond you. So, you know, even in a world that's going off the rails and undependable, you still have people and things in your life that you can depend on.
Count your blessings.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Count your blessings. In uncertainty, you know, as there's more and more of it, as it begins to feel threatening, you can respond and seek refuge in those things where you do have more certainty and give power to them and awareness to them.
I think, as so often happens in our conversations, that brings you around to gratitude being just such an amazing tool for bringing yourself out of any negative emotion and back into a focus of what you can do, what is possible.
Gratitude is a powerful, like you say, a powerful thing to exercise in a whole lot of different situations. And, you know, you start counting your blessings and you see the things that you can depend on. You see the things that you are certain of, that you believe in, and that you have faith in, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's another very important response to fear and uncertainty is faith, right?
Yes, all the time. I would not have been able, or I should say, I don't know how I would have walked through these last several years of my life with multiple traumas and with a lot of loss, so much loss. And walking through that without faith would have been a whole different journey. Faith is what keeps me focused on the road that I want to walk down and allows me to say, there is something more than me, something greater than me, the energy of my own knowledge, because I certainly am limited in my knowledge. There's only so much I can do. These things were all out of my control. And you learn that that is okay. It really is okay. In the face of so much fear and so much loss, you can come to a place of trust and goodness and knowing that all is well with my soul.
Yes. And there are a lot of ways that times like this can deepen your faith. But, you know, that requires you to acknowledge your vulnerability. And that's a whole big topic. And I think that's something that we can really go into deeply on the next episode.
Oh, I think you're right. That's a great idea. We can do a deep dive on that.
Okay. Well, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss that next episode.
When you need a break, a word of encouragement, a spark of creative juice and inspiration for mastering the challenges of life, work, and relationships, you'll find it in the Experience Excellence audio series from Connections University. You can download it right now through the link at deeperconnectionspodcast.com. While you're there, be sure to subscribe to the show at deeperconnectionspodcast.com so you'll automatically get the latest episode as soon as it's available. You'll find options for iTunes and other platforms. You'll also find links to the music in this podcast, written and performed by Local Honey.
I'm Ralph Marston.
And I'm Kimberly Kane. Thanks for taking the journey with us.
Be courageous in all of your connections. Go deeper. Your life will be richer for it.
This is Deeper Connections. Learn more, be more at deeperconnectionspodcast.com.